News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
The UN's Economic, Social and Cultural Rights Committee has told Ireland to shore up its corporate tax policies as they are hindering efforts to ensure wealthy individuals and businesses are not exploiting loopholes to hide profits. And to discuss this further, I'm joined now by Seamus Coffey, former chair of the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council and an economist at UCC, and Christian Aid Ireland's head of policy and advocacy, Conor O'Neill. Conor, I'll come to you first. Do you agree with this? Does Ireland need to make changes in order to prevent wealthy individuals and corporations hiding profits?
We do, absolutely. I think if you look at some of the biggest and the most egregious tax avoidance structures that have had Dublin at their centre, we've been at the core, we've been a key hub in some of those structures. And the net result really is that money is being shifted out of other countries, including poorer developing countries, which is our concern, and it's being shielded from tax. And now that is brilliant if you're a huge multinational. But for a poorer country like Ghana, say, revenue is essentially being lost that ought to be paying for things like clean water, hospitals and schools. And that's exactly what the UN human rights experts express concern over. It's the impact on the world's poorest.
Let me bring in Seamus. Seamus, that's it in a nutshell. Is Ireland's tax policies disadvantaging poorer countries?
No, everything that was said, almost everything that was said there, that was wrong. If you look at what the UN committee are looking at, in the main, they focused on illicit flows, tax evasion, tax fraud, things that are already illegal, and that there should be increased measures to combat those. Like, we should all agree with that. These things are already illegal under Irish law. And if for any company or person they're engaging in illegal activities, Ireland should be looking to crack down on that. It's already against our law. And what the UN committee are saying is that you should just strengthen measures to combat that, to ensure, as Conor says, that the revenue is collected, whether that is in Ireland or other countries. But sort of the ongoing or day-to-day activities that are in line with tax law, that's not really the target that's here.
Okay, but is our tax system causing countries, smaller countries like Ghana, to lose out on money for education and health?
There's no rule that one country can pass to restrict or reduce tax revenue in another country. Other countries are entitled unilaterally. There's no rule that countries can pass. Countries can collect their tax revenue based on the rules that they have. So Ireland has obviously used relatively low corporate tax to attract investment. But it's not very in terms of general application. It's limited to countries from the US. Like, where are the German or French or Australian or Japanese companies setting up in Ireland to perhaps avail of these so-called malignant rules, allowing them to reduce their tax bills? It's all US companies. If you look at the companies involved, it's the Apples, Facebooks, yeah, Googles, Intels, Pfizers.
So are you
these
saying
companies
that's to
have
do
no
more
operations
with
in Ghana.
The US?
But they have no operations in Ghana. So okay, there's no basis for these companies to pay tax in Ghana. Yes, they have significant operations in Ireland, but what in Ireland can prevent those companies or those countries from collecting tax revenues if those companies don't have a presence there at all?
I'll bring back in Conor. Conor, the big tech American companies, they have no base in Ghana. They're not going to have a base in Ghana. That's not where their employees want to be, and it's not where their revenue streams are ever going to exist. So how is Ireland, who is taking advantage of the fact that they do want to be here, how are we disadvantaging poorer countries?
Thanks, Ciara. So I disagree with Seamus on a number of things there. Firstly, on what the UN committee has said, I followed those specific hearings. I was in Geneva last year, and not just in the written recommendations yesterday, but in a two-day grilling of the Irish government, they said specifically, they asked the government to do two things. First, to undertake a comprehensive, independent and external audit of our tax system, and specifically to ensure that it's not harming developing countries. So that is there. It's on the record. And second, to take further action to shut down any of those measures that are found to be harmful. So want to get that on the record. The second thing is, I do partly agree with Seamus. If I was a US congressperson, I would be amazed at how this has been able to happen for so long. And some of the reforms that have been passed in the US recently have made it harder. But the point is that it's not just big wealthy countries like the US or France. We published research in the last number of years, for example, showing how a specific pharmaceutical giant based in Ireland, using a very specific and live tax avoidance structure, is able to legally reduce their tax bill by millions of dollars made on things including sales of COVID and HIV testing kits, and essentially shift that money out of countries like Ethiopia and Nepal. And now the end result, that is set out.
Were those monies in Ethiopia and Nepal originally?
They were, and that is set out in detail by one of the best financial journalists in the country, Thomas Hubert, writing in The Currency. And that the effect of this, ultimately, of using this structure that links Ireland and Malta, is that the company has been able to pay an effective tax rate on those profits of just 4%.
Okay, let me put that to Seamus. Seamus, you've heard what Conor says. Can you address that?
Yeah, absolutely. Malta has rules that allow very low tax rates in certain companies. That's a Maltese issue. This American multinational I'm referring to doesn't have any operations in Nepal or Ethiopia. Maybe it sold products there, but companies don't pay tax where their customers are. Companies pay tax where their operations are. That's a very basic principle of how the corporate tax system works. Where customers are has absolutely nothing to do with where companies pay their tax. Now, maybe the system should change. And maybe we should have an entirely different system, perhaps, where companies could pay their tax where their customers are. But that's not the system we have at the moment. So making claims of tax losses on the basis of a system that doesn't even exist.
Connor, is that what you're doing? Are you saying that? Explain.
Absolutely not. I don't agree. I think that's part of it, but it's not the whole picture. If you look at the OECD global tax deal, for example, those negotiations, which in many ways we have been critical of because we don't think it goes far enough. But a huge part of that is essentially trying to redraw rules on how profits are carved up between countries so that more of it is paid in countries where products are sold and profits are generated, like Ethiopia and Nepal, and slightly less in places where they have their headquarters located or their intellectual property stored. That's not good enough at the moment, but it is still the case already. And there's further recognition that it needs to change.
Connor, apart from tax, I mean, how would you make Apple, for example, want to locate its headquarters in Ghana or Ethiopia or Nepal? It seems unlikely to me that would be something they would choose. This reminds me a little bit of the argument that we say we need to divert air traffic from Dublin to Knock.
Sure.
When people don't want to go through Knock, they want to be in Dublin.
No, we recognise that. And what we're not suggesting is that we want every multinational to relocate to Ghana. Absolutely not. What we want to do is look at the current structure that if you're a multinational company, you're selling profits all over the world. Essentially, how are those profits being sliced up right now between poorer countries and richer, wealthy countries? And at the moment, we feel that the imbalance is really stark, that a country, if they between a structure, again, that links Ireland and Malta, and we are not an accidental part of that, we are an important part of it. If you can pay 4% only, we think that's obscene. Because your average local business, your bakery, your restaurant,
absolutely. And then between one thing and another, let me give the last word to Seamus. Seamus, you hear the arguments about carving up profits equitably, the disadvantaging of developing countries. You still think no merit to this?
No, absolutely. We could move to a different system, but sort of pointing out issues with the current system based on rules that don't exist isn't appropriate. Like, so currently companies don't pay taxes on the basis of where the customers are. So saying there's tax losses for countries on the basis of rules in Ireland for countries that have the customers is completely wild, because companies couldn't pay tax on that basis even if they wanted it. That would be illegal. That would be the tax evasion and tax fraud that this US committee is referring to. Could the system change? Absolutely. But like, there would be gains and losses in either direction. So then we'd have these countries perhaps selling stuff out to developed countries, the richer countries who have the customers, and maybe then the tax base would shift from those companies or those countries for certain goods and services that maybe natural resources.
Look, gentlemen.
So we could change the system, but if we're going to assess and kind of draw conclusions on the current system, it should be based on the rules that are there now.
Okay, look, thank you both very much for speaking to me on this. That is Seamus Coffey, their former chair of the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council and economist in UCC, and Christian Aids, Ireland's head of policy and advocacy, Conor O'Neill.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.